back to Telosive Tech Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I am a Discord partner and no one else is. So welcome back to my show, starring Randy with his minimal black t-shirt.
That's right, baby.
And I have my minimal desk setup.
I have buttons. I have a much more minimal desk setup, Drew. I just have one microphone. That's all. Literally all right now. Just
you got
one
me
microphone.
Beat there.
Wow, Nick.
So we've made it a week with my new digital well-being lifestyle.
Really?
Have there been any coming realizations in your guys' lives over the past week when it comes to technology, or is it just me?
I have a little hour to talk, so I'll let you guys go first.
Okay.
Hey, my AirPods are done charging.
Sweet.
Cool.
What's up, Nick? Ooh.
Well, as many of you know, in the last episode, I deleted Twitter. And didn't delete the account. I just deleted the apps off my phone.
Three days ago, I thought this was a joke. And so I go, oh, are you really not on? I had to talk to him.
All the Telosive podcast tweets are me, ladies and gentlemen.
And
it's back to me now.
Look at
Drew
that.
Is in control of Telosive again.
What?
It's so weird.
He's become self-aware. We must kill it in the stem.
I've been trying to not keep my phone on me.
Okay.
And not charge it in the bedroom, and it is hard.
This is
harder than I thought it was going to be, guys.
Yeah,
I can't say I've had much success. there have been those moments where it's just like, we need that to look at something. We need to take a picture. We need to do such and such.
Yeah.
And then I grab it, and then I check it, and then I put it in my pocket because I don't think to bring it back to my desk. And then I force myself to bring it back to my desk, and I'm like, stay. Don't go.
Stop following me.
it's such a default position. It's such a, like, it's just, it's what you do when you're not doing anything.
I have tried so hard to, like, play, but this past week, this wasn't the week. With the Tesla video, the Halo, quarantine music, this was not the week for me to try.
I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm maintaining my brand, you know?
I hate that excuse, but I'm such a cliche at this point. And then I look at Nick,
and
he's so happy. Like, he had a legitimate smile, even though it was just via text. He had a legitimate smile in my stream yesterday, and I'm like, "Oh, there he is. He exists. Come." And he was just happy, like, "Hey, look, social interaction on a digital form. My friends,
my friends,
and they're not trying to hate me right now. This is great." I would highly recommend a Twitter break for anyone. I know it took a lot of negativity for me to come to the point where, like, I was like, okay, I'm ready for, like, a solid break of Twitter. And it was really hard the first 2 or 3 days. Like, I'm thankful I deleted the apps and didn't just put them in, like, you know, time-restricted mode or whatever. Like,
because
that doesn't work as well. Like, I legit just deleted the apps. And it took a lot of self-discipline the first couple days, because when I'm bored, I get on Twitter. That's kind of what I used to do. Then I noticed me opening
up. That's what most of the world does now.
Exactly.
It's just the default.
It's just like, scroll through social media when you're bored. I also deleted Instagram, too. I didn't spend a whole ton of time on Instagram, but I deleted that, too, because it was. I noticed after I deleted Twitter, I was going on Instagram just about as often as I was on Twitter. And I'm like, well, wait, this is...
I mean, you caught up on my life by liking all my photos, so that was nice.
Yeah, pretty much. And I was like, wait a minute, I need to delete this, because this is just defeating the whole purpose here. But after the first couple days, like, I don't miss it. Like, right now, like, I have you guys to keep me up to date. I have a few other friends who, like, send me screenshots of stuff, and, you know, so I can keep up to date with the news. Also,
let the record show, I haven't said anything to Nick in the last 7 days.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
If anything, I was the one who sent the Twitter link. I think the thing I noted was iJustine, right? Was that last week?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Came on Viper's channel.
Yeah, so I was just I was trying to report just things that were happening in our more immediate tech side of the community.
Congrats to Viper, by the way.
Yeah.
Yay.
He finally got him.
He finally did it. Took him forever, but
congrats.
He finally, there you go. Yeah. So, like, little things, I was just, you know, little reports and stuff like that, but this is true. And I think about, I think our chat has been relatively quiet, because Nick will...
All we've been talking about is when we're going to record. That's yeah. all I got in my messages.
Because Nick will normally initiate something where he'll send a link of a tweet we'll do a quick little discuss on it or whatever and just, hey, look at that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the channel has been, or our channel, the group chat has been relatively quiet this past week.
That's on you guys. You guys are the Twitter warriors now.
Every tweet I will now text the group chat so Nick actually sees all of Twitter in our iMessage.
We found our loophole.
Like, Nick, Air Power came out exclusively on Twitter.
And I'm just going to respond in the chat. I'm going to send a link to me replying to somebody like, you know, Wisdom on Tour, lol. And there you go, Nick. I want you to see it.
Lol. See, think,
Jay or something, you know.
When people send me a tweet, iMessage automatically loads the picture and like part of the words. So like the few times people have actually sent me like tweet links, like I can get the context of the tweet without having to open Twitter on the web or do any of that. I still feel engaged enough. And also YouTube. I haven't pared back on YouTube, but I also haven't expanded the time I'm spending on YouTube. So I'm still
working.
Getting Exactly, I know. And the kind of the reason...
Every time I bug you, I can't talk right now, I'm working. Oh, okay, sorry, bye.
You can be on YouTube as the video, but not watching. right now, you're on YouTube, just not as a viewer.
Exactly.
I'm
a monetized content creator. Look at this.
Hey. Indeed. For real.
Yeah, so I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. I followed a lot of political stuff on Twitter, just keeping in the news and knowing what's going on in the world. And I follow a lot of tech news.
That'll just make you want to die.
I almost did a couple times. It's just like, I don't care what side you're on. This is just nasty.
It's sad.
Exactly.
That's all politics, too, is just make you lose hope for humanity.
Like, are we this stupid?
You're just like, we're all going to die. Yeah, there's no hope
that
anymore.
That gif of the dumpster on fire floating down the river on the street.
That's That's why I love technology. Because it's just a competition of who can make something better than the other person. There's not so much negativity. And yet there is at the same time.
It's the internet. Somehow. So I never unsub from anyone on YouTube, so I'm still getting all my regular tech news and EV news, but just without all the political stuff. It's kind of just nice to...
All right. I'll keep you up to date. Everyone is still mad about the no charger in the iPhone box thing.
Oh.
That's all everyone's talking about. I think it got some resurgence because Marquez made a video on it. And
now everybody had to piggyback off of that.
Yeah. I want the record to show that I made my video before Marquez did, okay?
Boom.
So
Marquez,
I didn't
we know
piggyback
you're listening.
Off of Marquez.
Keith Brownlee, there you go.
My opinions on it have not changed. If anything, I've actually become more okay with nothing with the box because Marquez tweeted out this interesting article about e-waste and how much of a growing problem it is for the world and where the majority of e-waste comes from. And it seems like a fairly massive chunk, dare I say majority, of e-waste comes from cables and chargers and headphones shipping with devices that people don't use.
Yeah.
And Apple's one of the most popular smartphone
So they have a responsibility.
Developers in the world. And what's killing me, you know, at first I was like, yeah, I know, we always get a charger with our phone, so I get why people are upset. But when the counter argument to a growing e-waste problem is, yeah, but I want a new charger, though, I am just like, that's so selfish when you think about it. The more I realize how selfish it is because, okay, sure, we might have a large number of people that use the charger their phone ships with, but we also have concrete data, as Apple is now polling people on this. There was an Apple survey going around asking people what they did with their chargers. So this is, if you didn't believe the rumor in the first place, Apple themselves is kind of confirming it at this point. They're asking you, so what did you do with those earpods and charger that came with your iPhone? That's straight
gave
from Apple.
Gave them to my mom.
Yeah, gave them away. Or I feel like if I'm spending this much money on a phone, I should get one. But you're now saying that because you want one, every single person who doesn't use one, who wouldn't care if they had one or not, and is going to end up throwing that away or that cable's going to end up in a landfill, they should also get one. You're saying everybody, even though there's a massive chunk of people that's not going to do anything with these, they should also get them because you want one.
Yeah.
Apple's not prohibiting you from using a charger. They're just putting an extra 10, 20 bucks on top of what used to be included because it's a growing problem on Earth.
with contributing to e-waste, and if there is a way that Apple can assure they have competitive prices, which I think at the end of the day matters importantly, if they're able to add all these great features to the iPhone at a competitive price point, and one of the compromises is it doesn't come with a charger anymore, sure, there's some environmental benefits to that. They can make thinner packaging, and they can stack iPhones easier on planes and trucks, and they can move more of them, so that requires less moving of vehicles, less flights. Overall, it's kind of sucks, but given the world we live in right now, I think it's one of those decisions that kind of has to be made preemptively. Apple's preemptively saying, you don't need one, but if you do, you can buy one at checkout. And in my opinion, the best way for Apple to possibly handle this and not have it come across as something like, because obviously people are like, oh, they're just doing it for the money. They're just doing it for the money. Well, yeah, they're a company. Complaining about a company caring about money and profit margins is like me complaining about you guys breathing. It's like all you care about is air, because that's all you're doing all the time
CO2
is breathing.
Right now.
Oh, that's all you care about. It's like, well, it's not all I
I've
care about.
I've had my breath
yes,
for 5 minutes.
Like...
What are you talking about?
At the very end of this rant, Randy just goes, I was conserving air. Thank you.
But I was my doing point the Wyatt stare.
You can care about more than one thing, and for a company to exist, for a company to do anything, they need money. That's what a company is. So same with us. You can care about other things in your life, and yes, you do very much care about water and air and being able to survive, because in order to do the things you care about, you need that. In order for Apple to invest into environmental funds and invest in solar and to make moves towards recyclability and breaking down iPhones and recycling the parts and the trade-in program and that kind of thing. In order to do that, yes, they need money. That's not a selfish thing. It's like breathing for them. They need a profit of some kind. So that's why, if anything, over the course of the past few weeks, I've become more okay with it. Now I'm like, I don't even want a cable. If anything, you know those like
you know what? I don't even want
cases?
A phone. Just put
let's get nothing.
Just
nothing
put it in my
box.
Brain.
You know those phone case the Apple boxes that slide out the top?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's how they should package the iPhone.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a lid that lifts up this way. Yeah. It should just slide out and have much thinner, much more compact packaging.
I have to put my foot down. No, I refuse. We lost. Okay. Hang on. I'll explain. And this is only partly
And I collect these boxes.
It's minimal, though, Randy. It's
Wait,
minimalism.
No. This is where I have to be a Steve Jobs fanboy, okay? Just for a second. We killed off Mac OS 10, okay? So there goes his legacy.
He never officially said goodbye to that on the show.
I know. Well, I did on Twitter, but I think you were gone.
Good riddance,
I have no idea what happened.
Good riddance. I will spit on your face when I see you. Hey, welcome to my house. Okay, so
Tim Cook fanboy here.
So
Randy's the Steve Jobs fanboy.
I am. This is where our eras start to shine through, because one thing that Steve made so abundantly clear and he focused on, and one of the reasons I fell in love with Apple, was he cared about every part of the user experience, to even unboxings. And no one cared about unboxings, and so Apple products had unboxings. The content inside the boxing, take away the cable, take away the brick, take away the headphones. I get that. But the way everything is packaged, that within itself, when I unboxed my iMac and the way it just unfolded like origami to me was like, whoa. There is some type of weird euphoria and connection that you make just from the unboxing experience. And this is the part where I'm not going to be satirical anymore. I'm cool with them shrieking it. It's sad to see one more part of the unbox, like something that I know that Steve was so
involved.
Well,
They could do it like the old iPhone boxes and still make them thinner. I'm not saying that's
very
impossible.
Much, when you say old iPhone boxes, are you talking about like how it's
the way
stacked
it's
underneath?
Been done.
Like this, you know, you buy it and then you set it on a desk and lift it up. They could
but
do that
only
and just
be that
make
thick.
It.
Ooh, guys, look, an optical like, illusion. Drew only uses the cover of it. There's no case behind it. Ah!
Yeah.
Look,
some real
Talos.
How do you hang them?
Some real Talos of ingenuity going on in here. Some exclusive stuff. There you go. You won't see that on the Talks channel.
No.
Actually, you probably did. Anyway,
I think I did. Actually,
I would be sad. Oh, well. I'd be sad to see them adjust how the presentation changes, unless they found a way to make it better. And not just in a eco-friendly way. I mean, like, if you can change the unboxing experience to make it just better. New isn't always better, but if you can make it better, I'm for it. But 100%.
It also – it forces people to be more recyclable with their old cables is what it does, because it pushes them to think, do I have an old charger already? Mm-hmm. Then I can just keep using that one. Whereas now getting a new charger with every phone – people just think, oh, I can just get rid of that older charger.
Can
I don't need it anymore.
Can you believe that people go to 7-Elevens or something and will buy their charger? Like, I need one. And they get some janky $3 charger that's going to cause your battery to blow up. And they're completely okay with it. Like, those people exist. Stop it.
I believe they exist. Get help. I don't know them, but I believe they exist.
They watch. They live amongst us in the views. Stop
I've
it.
Given away charger cables to everyone in my social circle, so
you
that's
have.
Why I don't.
I have
know
legit.
Anyone.
I have a cable from you that I have yet to open on purpose because it's like this was technically the last gift Drew ever gave me. Technically,
also the only one.
And no, I got the backpack.
Oh, okay. True, yeah. Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Well,
great. But no, the more I've thought about it, the more okay with it I am. I'm getting more and more excited with the idea of just super slim box. Open it up. There's your phone. All done. And the best way Apple could handle it so it doesn't come across as a profit thing is if at checkout they let you add a charger at a severely discounted price. Like, I doubt they would do this, but if they let you get the 20-watt USB-C charge brick with the lightning cable for $15 at checkout, they were like, if you need a charger, you get a discount on one when buying an iPhone. It's not a flat price cut for anybody, but just when ordering a new iPhone.
Or you can get that air power that we announced during the week when Nick got off Twitter. So there's that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, how is
super affordable.
How's the betas running for you guys? Any updates
that
this week?
That was my next topic that I was literally about to go into.
Go ahead. And I can't believe you found a way to ruin a perfect transition. Again.
It would have been perfect if you didn't break it, Randy. It was going fine.
It's all your fault, Randy. Per the usual.
And now I've broken it down, too.
Listen to that.
How's the beta for you, Nick?
It's going good. I'm not really using my phone any differently than I was before. I don't have any
you
widgets.
Suck, Nick.
I don't have any... I'm not using any of the fun features. I really don't even use the app library because I already had all my apps in one screen in four folders. And I really never use the widgets. I don't know. It's the most stable beta I've ever been on. Like, this is
for sure
legit.
I've
like,
never had a dev beta
this is
this
dev
smooth.
Beta one, and this thing feels
it feels
like
it's
release.
Public ready.
Yeah,
it does.
Not
it feels like they
beta,
could just launch
like,
it.
Do you recommend release. Me getting on the beta then?
Yes. Yes. Oh. The oh. biggest bug I've noticed is after the timeout or like whatever, if you have like a bedtime set and you turn off some apps after that bedtime using screen time, in the folder they'd still turn dark gray, like they're not available, but when you open them up they're normal brightness, like you can use them. That's like legit the biggest bug I've seen yet,
which and would totally be in a public release anyway.
Nothing. That's literally nothing. And it's
there's all kinds
stable.
Of bugs in the public version.
Haven't had a respring, haven't had to restart it.
Me neither.
No,
Big Sur has also been much more stable for me. The Mac Mini on day one for whatever was really buggy, and now it's the lock screen shows up just fine. So that was a fluke. It was like a one-time thing for some reason. And it's been running fairly smoothly. Same with watchOS 7. Same with iPadOS. I'm using it right now. I don't. It's been from what it sounded like. Apple has kind of redesigned their bug testing. Internally, like they test software a bit more diligently than they did before. I think Gurman made a report about it, how Apple's kind of, they said that iOS was getting too buggy and they wanted to rethink their process when it came to releasing betas and public releases. And I think it shows is what I'm saying. Compared to dev betas in the past, I can't recall another one that was this stable and had as many as the features advertised. There's a couple things that Apple talked about that haven't been moved over yet, but for the most part, all the major ones are there on day one. There's still no clock widget. There was a clock widget in the announcement, and now I don't see it that would let you look at multiple clocks. They haven't shown that yet. What else was? I think there was like a. They're bringing the camera toggle, like video resolution and frame rates, to all iPhones now. They'll bring that to everybody, and I don't think they've done it yet still. So the iPads don't do it, but they're supposed to, even though that's listed as a feature change, they haven't added it. But For the most part, yeah. iPadOS was probably the most disappointing thing we got out of this event. But
the one thing we were hoping, Final Cut and Logic. No, yeah.
Nothing. All we got was like slightly tweaked widgets and Spotlight search. That was... Oh, the Apple Pencil.
And the Apple
changes.
Pencil. Actually, unironically, I have used the Apple Pencil a couple times.
Really?
To search things. And
for Scribble?
Called
yeah,
it!
With the little Scribble thing. It was like...
It's so stupid.
Convenient called enough, it! But like not worth any of the effort that they put into it, right? Like, it was like, okay, I'm sitting here taking notes on... Wait, I don't have my pencils over there on the iPad, but I'm sitting here taking notes... And I'm like, oh, I want to look something up. And so I swipe over to get slide over in Safari. And when I tapped the little search bar, instead of the keyboard popping up and me having to hunt and peck with the pencil, I was just able to draw apple.com. And
okay.
it just did it. And I was like, you know, I used it once, unironically. And I've used it a couple other times to mess around with it. But is that a reason to have a beta on an iPad? No.
I just discovered a new feature while you were talking. I on my iPad,
you learned how
I
to
got
mute
a little drop down. Yeah, I just
no.
Yeah, I just got a drop down notification that said your AirPods have reached 20% battery.
Ooh,
which I never saw that before. Now it's like a little notification to let you know your AirPods battery's gone down. I was like, oh, that's cool.
I would prefer the meeting Nick feature instead.
Okay.
I have used PIP a lot. PIP is actually more useful than I thought it was going to be on the iPhone. Picture in picture.
Really? I've tried to.
FaceTime.
I run into the same. Oh, for FaceTime.
Yeah.
Okay. I've run into the same issue I've had with PIP on Android, which is that it feels like it's always in the way. Feels like anytime I use PIP and I go to use a different app, I'm constantly having to move it. I'm like, oh, wait, I got to tap that. Oh, wait. Yeah. And now I got to reach that. So I'm constantly resizing it. So my opinion on PIP hasn't changed, but again, I was still in favor of the option. People
should be able to use it. How's phone calls or Siri not taking up the whole screen working for you guys?
I don't like it. I miss the full screen things.
And oh.
I know, Drew is going to ban me from the show. And
it's still full screen when this phone is off, though.
That is true. The phone call notifications, okay, I don't mind them, I guess, like, fine. But the Siri thing...
I think it's great.
Not having
Siri, they messed up.
Siri, I never know when Siri is actually there. Like, it used to be, I could have my phone on the other side of the room, kind of vaguely pointed at me, and I could say the magic words, and the Siri would take over the entire screen.
The blob shows up.
It does, but it's so small, and it doesn't... I get it's non-intrusive, and when you're using it, I guess that's what most people want, but I don't know when she's listening to me and when she's not, and it's kind of... I wish they had like a little gray, just like the responses come down in like a little panel. I wish that they had that same little panel behind the Siri blob, and hopefully they fix that.
I think it,
but I don't know. I don't like.
I think the mistake was leaving the blob at the bottom. I think it should have been a drop down, like a notification, like when you get a text, would have been better, and it shows you because now it doesn't show you what it hears
exactly,
which I find a little interesting.
Yeah.
Which, if Siri's working properly, you shouldn't have to see what it hears. You know, I think ideally Apple wants you to use Siri the same way you'd use a HomePod. You just kind of call out to it, and she responds. The problem is, and I know Craig talked about it on Marquez's video, is that it is still taking up the whole display. It's just not covering it.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you tap the display, Siri goes away. And they were like, we tested internally that it's annoying to have to tap to get rid of Siri. But I'm like, just make it like a notification.
Exactly.
She shows up when you need her, and then she drops away when you're done. And I think that could have been very easy to implement. And it would have been easy for Siri to not be at the bottom of the screen, because that's usually where buttons or the home bar is. If it would have been a drop-down thing, or maybe like a face chat bubble, like on Android, with just a Siri blob, you can move her around just like Pip. And if you let me still interact with the display as Siri is doing stuff, it'd be perfect. But... it's a step in the right direction, but ultimately, I'm still not happy with it.
What about the little indicators that your camera or your mic is being used while you're using an app?
That's great. I love that. I'm glad they did that. It's doing it on the iPad right now. It's like camera's activated.
I don't mind it from a security perspective. Like, it's nice to know, hey, you know, this is actively using it. But for some of the default apps, like, really? Like, when you activate Siri, like, it says up there, the little orange dot, Siri is being used right now. And if you swipe down to go to the control center, it says Siri recently with an orange circle. And if you're using FaceTime, it has a little green circle and an orange circle. And it's like, for these default apps, like, if it's visible, if it's like a visible thing, like you're currently interacting with either like Snapchat or, you know, taking a picture in Twitter or using the camera, like, those are very obvious things. Like, obviously the camera is being used right now. I don't want to see a little extra green dot telling me the camera is being used. But it's for those background things, like, I haven't had it happen yet, but, you know, some app using the camera in the background that's, you know, spying on me or whatever. Like, I want that to show up as a little dot.
But I guess they just don't want a double standard. They want it to be kind of by default anytime camera's being utilized, because I don't know if there's a way for Apple to know when it's being used wrongfully or rightfully, because there's so many circumstances.
But I'm just saying that the default Apple apps, like the camera app and the FaceTime app, those should be exempt from that. But I get what they're doing. Yeah. And it's the same as on the Mac. Like, if you use the Mac's webcam, that little green light turns on next to it, and you doesn't matter
that's good.
What you're doing. It's just always that annoying green dot.
On the Mac, or maybe it's on iOS, I don't remember, but I know for sure on the Mac. Have you guys tried out the security features within Safari about what data is being pulled? How's that working?
A little bit. I think there's been a little confusion out there, because a lot of people, I don't think, realize that pretty much all websites have some type of tracker built in, because they need to analyze, you know, where their traffic is coming from and what, you know, what users are tapping links to reach their website. So Safari kind of lets you know when you're using these random news sites that they're tracking you. They have trackers detected. People are like, hey, what the heck? Everybody's tracking me. Some more than others, yes, and some unrightfully so. But I think some people were looking at websites that were not using trackers in a bad way. They're just tracking it for their own uses, and people were getting a little confused by that. But it's good. Overall, like, I heard that after iOS 14 came out, people were discovering, like, TikTok was copying people's keyboards without them knowing. So they were just analyzing what people were typing, and that blew up in their face. And once people found out about it, TikTok announced, okay, we're going to stop doing that. So that's exactly what Apple intended for it to do.
It's China, like, no China. More, what are you doing?
Yeah, no more getting away with stuff like that. So I'm glad Apple has those features, because it basically puts everyone in track. Like, I love that when you allow locations now, you can make it not precise.
Yes, I do like that.
You can just be like, where's your location? Here's a square mile. I'm in there somewhere. or a city. You know, I'm in this city, but I'm not going to tell you my exact address and that kind of thing, which I thought was cool. I was like, yeah.
As a popular YouTuber, I have to deal with that every day. It's like, don't know. I don't want all of these people to know exactly where I live and come murder me in my sleep. So
great privacy updates this year. That was a, you know, not a thing a lot of people are asking for, but it's good that Apple still prioritizes it.
Go ahead.
Kind of like it's been a year where privacy has been the forefront of the conversation, right? Like, the contact tracing was beginning of this year, and people are like, oh, how is this going to work? Is this going to be private and secure? You know, the FBI and getting that law in place, the Senate, I believe, just passed some law. I don't know. I'm not on Twitter, right? I don't know. But anyway, it's like...
That's where the Senate posts all their updates, is Twitter, so...
Ah! How am I ever going to know what C-SPAN is talking about if I'm not on Twitter? I just watch C-SPAN for hours. I love old white guys yelling at each other. That's just fun.
That's this whole show.
One of us is old.
Whoa. You know what? I was going to keep this episode engaging, keep asking you guys questions. Nick, you suck.
That's ageist, Nick.
I need to get like one of the little preset DJ things. Like, you suck, Nick. You suck.
What are you going to ask, Randy?
Well, I feel so offended with my old Alzheimer's brain here. I don't even remember. With dementia going on. Have you guys experienced a situation or whatever where you can utilize those app clips?
No.
I have no idea what those
are. And I don't think I ever will.
I'm just curious. I'm, all these new... Yeah, I just...
Are any of you guys running the new WatchOS?
I'm running it.
Yeah, I am. I don't.
One of you told me, I forgot who, but one of you told me that it wasn't syncing to your watch or something. I forget.
That's why I had to upgrade, because when I updated to the new phone, it like needed to talk to each other. They needed to be on the same version of software. And I had that problem last year, and other people didn't, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. But anyway, I wouldn't recommend
WatchOS 7 is solid.
I don't know. It's been terrible on my battery life. How's your battery life, Drew?
It was bad at first, but it's gotten a little better. I think it might have been just because when I installed the new WatchOS, I was using it for so many things that the battery drained faster, and now I'm going back to normal usage, and it's just back to normal battery life. I think that's what it was, but I haven't experienced that many bugs. Things have been running. Like I said, the animations are super smooth, much faster than before. The notifications are easier to clear, and Force Touch being gone has really not been a hindrance. If anything, it's actually saved a few steps now that it's not there, which in my opinion, I don't know about you guys, but to me that absolutely confirms we're getting some type of Apple Watch SE this year alongside the Series 6, because there's no way via software they would remove Force Touch and then continue to manufacture the Series 3 for another year. Like, agreed. That'd be stupid. I have no clue why they would do that. So in my opinion, that essentially confirms it. If they can remove Force Touch from WatchOS, then they're going to remove it on the Series 6 and then an updated version of the Series 3, whatever they decide to call it. And it'll still be $200, but it'll have, I don't know, maybe that extra space inside is what was needed for the 64-bit architecture, or maybe that helps with an ECG or fall detection, or I don't know. It'll allow them to do something else with the Series 3, but no way they could keep selling it. It would just be stupid.
What body do you think they're going to use for the SE, the Apple Watch SE? Is it going to be like plastic or aluminum or?
No, it'll be just like the Series 3. It'll be identical from the outside.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of like iPhone 8 to iPhone SE. It's basically the same assembly line, just like Series 0 to Series 1.
Yeah.
It's like practically no changes other than the internals. That's what I'm predicting, because they've already got those assembly lines running, and they're selling them at $200 a pop, and now they can take out the Force Touch layer. So, yeah, I think it's perfect. Makes perfect sense. Even though there's not been
on the Series 6,
it'd be stupid to leave it at this point. It'd just be wasting money, because like I've tried to do the hard press on Series 7, it doesn't work. The hard press doesn't do anything. Uh-huh. They literally turned it off. So for them to keep it on the Series 6, which will be shipping with WatchOS 7 out of the box, like, why bother keeping it around? So I don't expect any prices to go up or down with the Apple Watches. I think they're going to replace the 5 and the 3 with the 6 and the SE or whatever they call it. And there will be some new health features, no new drastic redesigns, but overall, it'll be a fresh new look for the watch, a fresh new internals for the watches. Not a new look, I guess. They'll look pretty much the same.
Have you noticed, are all your devices on betas, Drew? Do you use any AirPods, your AirPods, with any non-beta devices?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. I use my AirPods with my iMac Pro, which is the only Apple device not on a beta right now. My iPad, my phone, my watch. None more than usual. Okay. There's always some AirPod glitchy things, but for the most part it's worked fine. When I go to Bluetooth on the iMac Pro, it connects pretty much right away. There's been a couple times where it takes a second or connects to something else unintentionally, but I don't think they've rolled out the AirPods automatic switching feature.
Not automatic switching, but I've noticed between the iPhone and the iPad and my AirPods, which I don't remember what update the AirPods got, but like whatever update, my AirPods now have it, because like now the switching between the two, it doesn't automatically switch, but like it used to be, it was a pretty painful process if I wanted to move my AirPods Pro from my phone to my iPad or whatever other device I wanted to use it on. You'd have to wait for it to think, and then sometimes you have to put it back in the case, and then wait for it to think, and then put them back in your ear, and hopefully that did it, and if not, it didn't. That has just been terrible between beta and non-beta devices. So my primary iPad is not on a beta, and whenever I want to switch in either of my AirPods to that, I basically have to hold the little button until the light turns white, and then go through and kind of pair them in again.
Oh, wow.
The old iPad.
Oof.
But between the two beta devices, it's fine. Like, the pairing's probably even quicker between the two beta devices. So I don't know. Something's just not right. But minor problem.
So are you thinking about going on a beta, Randy? That's not usually like you.
I know, but everyone, more so with iOS and anything else, I've been hearing nothing but good things. I'm just like, why not?
I don't think there's much harm in waiting, though, because it's possible that we could all get dev beta on Monday and it'll ruin everything. Dev beta 2, and they come out with a second version and that's terrible or something. You know, that could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I've entertained the idea of at least bumping the iPhone up just so I could see these widgets and stuff like that. I am interested in the whole group messages and the
you're the last piece. We just gotta get you, and then we can update our icon and everything.
That alone should make me upgrade then, so.
Yeah.
Honestly, every time I want to talk to you in the group chat, Randy, it pops up with a little blue Randy whenever I type your name. It's like, I want to click that, but I'm not sure if you're going to get it because
you
don't have the right phone.
I already know
I don't know what'll happen.
Nothing. You'll delete iOS as a whole. It's like when you make a right click and create a shortcut for trash, and then you drag the actual trash into the shortcut, and then the whole thing just blows up. That's what will happen. Yeah.
Right. Well, Quinn Nelson seems to agree with both of you guys, which
yes.
I've heard you are in agreement that macOS Big Sur has taught us touchscreen Macs are coming or in the pipeline. And I'm the only one here putting my foot down saying, I don't think it's happening.
Right. I did watch that video that Quinn put out. I did see that video, and I was like, yep, all the pieces are there.
I didn't watch the video, but I had my assistant brief me on what it was about.
It's a new Amex feature. Someone will watch a YouTube video and then summarize it for you via phone call.
I don't have time to watch this seven
That's only
YouTube
when you
video.
Unlock pretentious mode.
Yeah.
Better yet, make that be a Siri feature. Siri can now summarize controversial YouTube videos for you and present you with the opinions of the content creator.
Thanks, Siri.
Yeah, I think that Big Sur is a step in the new direction. Right now, as soon as Apple introduced the Magic keyboard case with the trackpad and the iPad Pro, that was the minute where the fate was sealed for macOS. It's coming. I love this MacBook Pro. It's so beautiful and thin and light and precise, but Big Sur is so ripe for touch interface. And I don't think that it's going to be some clunky touchscreen. That's not going to be the primary input. I think it's coming to the iPad Pro. I think Big Sur has to be coming to the iPad Pro at some point. And that's going to be the version of touchscreen.
Is that a touchscreen Mac then?
It would be.
I would say no, it isn't.
Yeah,
I would say that's an iPad running macOS.
But it's still macOS that is touchscreen.
I wouldn't call it a touchscreen Mac though. Cuz the hardware itself is still an iPad.
Define Mac.
It's just not.
It's Define tough. Mac. It's a trademark of a type of personal computer, or macaroni, one of the two.
Right.
Oh my god!
But if we put macOS on the iPhone, does that make it a Mac?
From my perspective, a Mac is the software. It's macOS 11 is what makes a Mac a Mac. Because I
so
have
when
a
someone
MacBook
says
Pro,
I want to buy a Mac for college,
when I have a MacBook Pro that I'm running Windows 10 to 12 hours a day on, and I call that my Windows computer. Like that, it feels like a Windows. Obviously, the design.
You can call it whatever you want, but it's still a Mac. It's just running Windows.
It used to be a Mac. It is. It's a MacBook Pro, but the Mac is the software. The Mac is the experience, and the
it's a Mac that has coronavirus.
This is true.
This is going to be a lot tougher than I thought. We got to figure out our definitions. We can't even agree on. The reason I don't think touchscreen Macs are coming is because Big Sur is borrowing design language from the iPad, but it is by no means touch-friendly, especially when it comes to resizable windows. Magic Keyboard makes the iPad support keyboard and mouse. I don't see that as having anything to do with the Mac.
Precise input, but for your general things, you can use your fingers.
Right, because the iPad is touch dominant. But if the Mac is keyboard and mouse dominant, what does adding a touchscreen do for you, other than the occasional tap?
Randy, what do you think?
He pushes it so Randy.
Is this where you give up the battle, Nick? You're doing so well.
No, this is where I have run out of good arguments, and so I hope you have a couple, because this is starting to spiral.
I'm letting it play out.
Let me ask you guys this. When you got your Magic Keyboard case for your iPad, did you find yourself using the trackpad and cursor over the touchscreen a lot of the time?
It depends on what I'm doing, but yeah. Most default, I use the cursor.
That becomes your go-to.
Yeah.
Once you got the keyboard case.
Unless I'm editing video, which is using my fingers.
So we already have that with our MacBooks and our Macs. We're defaulting to the keyboard and mouse. Would adding a touchscreen revolutionize the experience? I don't think so. I think you would still go to keyboard and mouse, and the only thing touch would be used for. As Apple has talked about for over a decade now, they have tried touchscreen MacBooks, and whenever they do them, good demo, but after a while you get tired of reaching up and then you just go back to this experience. The iPad, I think, is the great hybrid OS, because you can absolutely use it just fine without a keyboard and trackpad, but Apple has now enabled it to be a two-in-one. Yes, it can enter laptop territory, but I think it's a spectrum, basically. iOS on the phone, this is touch dominant. Pretty much, that's the only way to use it.
You mean
there's
this
a few
is the binary?
Accessibility.
We have to have only two choices, Drew.
There's a few
you're
accessibility
right
features, but for the most part, you know, watchOS, iOS, it's all about touch. iPad is the hybrid. You can do a little of both, and that's your two-in-one. The Mac is just keyboard and mouse. That's the other end of the spectrum. It's not built for touch. It's just meant for a point-and-click type. That's why the windows are resizable, unlike the iPad, where everything takes up the full screen. That's why we have little minimize and blow-up buttons and close buttons, and they would rather... Yes, design language, bring that over from the iPad, bring it to the Mac. Yeah, that's why Control Center looks the way it does, and that's why it's looking more fluid. But I don't see that as getting ready for touch, because, for one, you would have to drastically redesign the way MacBooks are engineered today, because they're not built to handle touch well. They would need re-engineering on those display lids. They would need to beef them up so they can handle pressure. And it would be a whole lot of development on Apple's end to make touchscreen Macs a reality. And it would only be utilized for an occasional... Oh, let me close that. Let me minimize that. It wouldn't be utilized for much. Unlike, you know, if you want an OS that is taking advantage of touch and it's on a larger display, they have the iPad for that. So I'm all in favor of bringing more pro apps and productivity to the iPad. Let that be the hybrid OS. Let that be the two-in-one. But you don't need two separate hybrid operating systems that are kind of overlap. I don't think Apple likes that kind of overlap.
Your response.
Rag. Okay, quite frankly, okay. I would never say this, Drew. They say this, okay, folks, but you're rag.
I wouldn't hate it if they did, for the record. I won't be super mad if they
aren't
do it.
Aren't you tired of
it.
Always being rag? Because
no, I get a kick out of it.
This is you're making the same argument you made for iPad not needing it like a year ago, and I'm like, I'm having deja vu. And
because I
and
think
we saw how that
cursor,
played out.
Adding a cursor to the iPad is way easier than adding a touchscreen to the Mac.
See, you said that they would have to re-engineer and all these things, and that's exactly what they'll do. It's always my argument that
accessory display panels.
So you have your focus on how it was working in Mac OS X. And Mac OS 11, getting the major version upgrade now, is to reintroduce.
Wow.
I know. After what did I say, 18 years, whatever?
Almost my entire life.
It's crazy. So that's it is laying down the foundation for the new Mac OS for however long that would
Apple
run.
Apple ARM-based, which will have a touchscreen, which will be ultra-portable.
Yes, and I think all those things are going to come. What we remember Macs and iMacs and MacBooks are all going to change, because now they can control the aesthetic portion and all the internals all at the same time. And this is things that they have been testing, obviously. I mean, they got things that they're testing 5 years out in advance. And
Steve Jobs talked about this. Yeah, they've been testing it when he was alive, and they've always said no. They've said no for years.
Because they're right now that they have the hard, because he's talking about the hardware, and he's also talking about how your arm placement and get tired and all that stuff. We are looking at it on how we see and use Macs today with Mac OS X. The software is now is going to become more optimized, and I think it is meant. Back then, when Steve Jobs talked about it, the Mac was the hub, and that's what he called it. It wasn't until iCloud was introduced that became the hub. Mac was the hub, and it had to behave as such. And so keeping the Mac as solidified as possible was its viable source of keeping all these extensions alive. And now they've made hardware adjustments. We were just talking about watchOS. They've made hardware adjustments for less and things that they would kill off, or we're going to do away with it. I don't see it as like this big endeavor that they have to now change display panels and stuff like that on Macs just so now you can move it, especially if we get this rumored to be new iPad looking iMac. Absolutely, that thing's going to be touch friendly. I can see it, because it's now becoming more inviting, where if they're trying to blur the line between continuity of the experience, it is now becoming inviting to where people would want to touch it the same way Windows has done it with theirs. And
that went well.
Hey, Apple. Actually, and Windows.
Finish your thought.
Apples to apples.
Pin.
Sure. No. Well, now I've been derailed. I was on to something. Go ahead. I was
trying to be as uninvasive as possible.
No.
But at school or whatever, whenever I was interacting with other people who had Windows laptops on a daily basis, whenever I took out my Mac, it happened to me more than once, less than 10 times. There'd be someone who was using my computer for something, and they're used to their Windows computer. And most of the time, you know, they're typing on their keyboard or doing their mouse. But, like, when they want to close a window or resize it, they just lift their finger up and start touching my screen. And as a Mac user, I would be like, no, it doesn't work like that. And they'd be like, oh, why not? It's a screen. Why isn't it a touchscreen? Because for almost every screen anyone uses, iPad, iPhone, Apple Watch, most laptops that are not Macs, any screen in a Tesla, like in your car, even if it's a non-Tesla, like they're all touchscreens. Like almost every screen these days is a touchscreen. That may not be the primary input method, but almost all screens are a touchscreen. And there's a little bit of a disconnect for Windows people. I know for sure, I've had arguments, I've turned blue in the face arguing that, you know, there shouldn't be a touchscreen on a Mac, because my Windows friends are like, oh, why doesn't it have a touchscreen? That's so stupid. See, look, I can touch my screen. Your Mac can't do that. My PC's so much better. And I'd be like, well,
that
your
same
hand
argument
gets tired.
Is like the S Pen to me.
Exactly. Yeah. But my argument was always, oh, your hand gets tired. Well, now the iPad is a touchscreen that's mounted like that, and I'm interacting it like this, and I'm like, yeah, my hand does get tired. I see why this is better with the mouse, and then I'm using the mouse more. But just for those edge cases, so that those people won't have that argument, because the Mac is super mature. Like, if we think the iPhone's mature, like, the Mac has had 40 years to mature. It is getting to the point where between years there's, like, no difference, basically, between, like, small processor boost or a small differentiation of RAM. We don't have redesigns every year like we do with the phone and the iPad and the watch. The Mac is super duper mature. And that's kind of one of the final things they can add to the MacBook lineup is a touchscreen.
The way I see it is that you might not use it, but someone else does. Nick, my example is, I actually use my example for this this touchscreen Mac thing to other people, that I don't talk to my phone or my watch, and all you do is do voiceover for Siri, and I don't do it. I'm an analog, I gotta do it by hand type of guy, and you're. Hey, sir, can you go ahead and do this and blah, 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 and you do all that stuff. And I don't see the use of having all that stuff for my phone, but you do. And it doesn't take away from my experience if I don't want to touch the Mac and somebody else would. And as long as you provide an option for everybody, there's no harm in it. It's not gonna hurt the manufacturing process of it. It won't hurt the overall thing. And it's just, hey, people are asking for it. Here you go. The old school of like, no, we don't think it's good. The Steve Jobs way of being stubborn is gone. You know, we have stylists.
It's not. Phil Schiller talked against touchscreen MacBooks like in 2017.
Phil
it's
Schiller, very, still hey, recent. They've also gone back on things very recent as well. And Phil Schiller
also told us in 2017 we're going to have air power.
I was going to say that.
Right.
He's not the final say.
They put their foot down, and there's some things that they don't. But I don't. I personally predict, and again, it's not that I don't want it. It's not that I think it would be bad if they did. I just don't see Apple going through the work, because if you've checked out Windows laptops with touchscreens, they have to beef up those display panels. They have to re-engineer them in a lot of ways, and then people are going to start asking for the display to pop off and use it in iPadOS mode and turn into this hybrid type device. And I think that type of engineering and software should just go towards the iPad instead of trying to make the Mac something that it isn't.
That they're trying to make the iPad something that it isn't.
It can be made. It's not well, though.
Yeah, a MacBook can be made, but it's not well, though.
Got him.
It's a desktop.
I don't know.
To me, they've got a perfect. I mean, tvOS. Do you want a touchscreen on that too?
Yes, please.
You're gonna buy a new TV with a touch display on it.
Actually, to be honest with you, I know you said that jokingly. That would actually be kind of cool. I would want.
They've made those. They don't work. People don't buy them. They're not. It's not a new idea. It's been done. It's just stupid.
I just mean not every screen
needs to be touched.
The 2-year-old me says otherwise. Touch. I have to touch everything. I have to. I'm just curious.
Right? And that's what some of these Windows PC users think. Like, they know when they're using their Surface Book. I owned a Surface Book for a good number of months, and I never touched the touchscreen. Like,
right.
Rarely, because Windows Apple 10 knows is that not. Too. Exactly. A lot of those people, they're like, well, I have the option to. And when I get a Mac, I'm going to lose an option. I'm going backwards into a time before touchscreens. Like,
Apple's all about options.
And Apple is totally. They have every single iPhone. You can have a $400 iPhone or a $1,500 iPhone. They're all about options. Now.
Especially when it comes to SD card slots.
Yeah. See, I used to define a Mac as like, oh, the IOs. But now that's not even the case.
I define it as the hardware, if it's called a Mac something or a something Mac. It's part of the Mac family.
I mean, you could call it a tablet, and a tablet's still a tablet. I mean, it's just branding at that point. A PC's a PC, or a laptop's a laptop, or a tablet's a tablet.
Yeah, what's a computer?
What?
I just see that they vocally talked about how they don't like the idea of macOS being designed differently for the MacBook than they do the desktop. So if you guys want a touchscreen, that means bringing it to desktops as well,
sure,
which is incredibly unergonomic.
What if they made a desk an iMac Studio? You were gushing over.
I would love that. I think it would be cool if it existed, but I'm not going to pretend I think that's likely, because Apple has seen the success of the Surface Studio. There wasn't any, because there's not enough people buying products like that. There's not a huge demand for people that want a giant 28-inch touchscreen that they can swivel down and draw on. It's cool. Again, it makes great demo, but Apple doesn't cater to every single niche demographic like we want them to. Just like
says, you know, the guy who also said they cater to this tiny 1% for Mac Pro for this niche market.
That's what I mean. It's a tiny 1%, but there was a much larger demographic they completely ignored. They very sporadically and randomly choose their niches, and I don't think that's going to be one of them.
I don't think touchscreen's a niche for a Mac. I think it's very. I think it's part of just evolution as a whole.
I haven't heard a great use case. What would it allow me to do?
Nothing. There's no point to having a touchscreen on a Mac, right?
Thank you.
There's no point of having a cursor on an iPad.
There is a point to that. Can add productivity apps to it and use it as a laptop. But unless you're pitching a Surface Book for a Mac that you rip the display off of, then
calm down.
What's the point?
Calm down.
I'm calm.
I am calm.
Come on, you're learning about. But the difference between cursor on iPad and touchscreen on Mac is adding or reducing preciseness. On the iPad, with the cursor, we increased preciseness. We went from our thumb being the most precise, well, I guess our pinky finger being the most precise input, to this tiny little circle that you can precisely yes. stick wherever you want. On the Mac, you already have
That's
this.
That's what she said.
Thank you, Randy. Family friend with this. Stop poking
Mouse
me.
Mouse is super precise.
Stop poking me. I'm not okay with this, Randy. This is not okay. Stop poking me.
Go ahead.
Where is that going? No, but the Mac already has the most precise input, and so you're yes. right. Whenever you blur that input from the most precise down to like something like your finger, there's not going to be an additional use case as far as like, oh, now you can easily swipe down. It's like yeah, that and the Apple Pencil too, I guess. Whatever, but you're going, you're zooming out, you're getting more blurry, you're getting more fuzzy, yes. you're not getting more precise. Mm-hmm. And so there's no use case for the Mac getting it, just like there's no use case for a Surface Book or a Surface 6 or whatever those Surface products are. I'm just gesticulating.
I would say the Surface Book has more of a use case, but the iPad is already in that demographic.
Yeah.
That's my point.
At the same time, why not, though? Like, there's not many reasons
because
not to.
Because it takes a lot. It makes the product more expensive.
Yeah, but
because
then Apple,
they've
then,
been
then
against
Apple
it for
can,
a long time.
Then Apple can finally. Because that's, like, one of the biggest things that PC users are like, well, but my computer has a touchscreen. Does yours have a touchscreen? And us Mac users still don't have a touchscreen. So when someone's looking to upgrade their crappy Surface 2, and they're like looking at the comparison between a MacBook Pro and a Surface Book, they might not use it frequently, but in their head, they're going to be losing a feature if they go to the Mac.
And Apple's just trying to close the gap. But what's 10 times more common than the touchscreen complaint when it comes to Mac versus PC is PCs are
MagSafe.
Better at running games.
MagSafe.
Macs suck at running games, Nick, so I'm not buying one. That's 10 times more common than the touchscreen argument. And that's not changing. Apple doesn't care about that. I don't think they're worried about, well, Windows, because Windows has had touchscreen for years, and it's never bugged Apple. They've never been upset about that. They would just tell you to get an iPad. That's better for a touchscreen experience.
I don't think Macs would get more expensive. Because it's not their main revenue line.
It wouldn't get cheaper.
Anyway. I think it'd maintain the same cost. I think whatever the differentiating of profit they would make, they'd eat that because that's not their main. That's not their workhorse anymore.
Well,
so.
Adding the touch bar made Macs get quite a bit more expensive, and that wasn't even an entire display. That was just a tiny strip of function
that's
keys.
Mostly marketing, though. Like they have to have key differentiators between their product lines. Like there has to be a reason for you to go from $1,200 to $1,700.
I saw where you went there with that, Drew.
I agree. A touch on the iPad and no touch on the Mac is a great differentiating
no
difference. If you start blurring the two, which they've actively said, no, we're not merging, and you know they don't want
they
too
also
much overlap.
Remember, Apple has also been very notorious for misleading on purpose. They have purposely lied and threw off reporting back when they did D5 conference and all that. Like they are very notorious. Are you thinking about making a phone? No, we would never. That is ridiculous. And not even a year later they announced it's they are very notorious for lying because it's part of the game. It's fun.
It's part
and
of
the I don't know about to the same extent though. I just don't see the as you admitted yourself, there's not a use case for it, and I think that's ultimately the biggest
use case
reason
for
Apple would be against
I
it.
I think there's a use case for it. I didn't admit that.
Use cases are not increased. There are
I
use
would
cases,
say,
but they're not more than the mouse.
The use cases would come from the Apple experience itself, not something like Photoshop, not something that requires precision, but it would come from your non-pro sector. This, with the icons and the stretching and the and all that stuff, all that you know gimmicky, ooh, it's so welcoming and friendly thing. The use case is that it's inviting and it now has more continuity with all of Apple's side of things. Whether they find a way to put that in the Final Cut or Logic, I don't know, and I don't really care because we wouldn't do that. We don't care about that, but. We're thinking from a pro perspective and not a consumer or a child or a teenager getting their first something that is meant to be intuitively easy to understand and work with, and nothing's more inviting than you being able to engage with it. That we're going back to the customer experience and the user experience. Mm-hmm. Like you touching the product. It was why they put that handle on the first iMac, because it was like mm-hmm. it's inviting.
I think Apple knows that, but I don't think they see the Mac that way, because they've had multi-touch screens for 13 years now, and they've been making Macs much longer than that, and they've never I don't see why now it's any different. What if those arguments are being made that touch is more inviting and it's just more fluid to be able to interact with it because we're used to touchscreen, why not do this in 2014? Why not do this in 2010? Why now?
Well, that's just, you could say the same argument 5 years from now. Why not do it back in 2020? I get what you
did. I don't know why you want it now. That's my point. I don't have good argument for doing it now at all. So
why not before? Here's my argument. It doesn't matter about before, because we could say that, like, why not in 2019? Why not in 2022? Why not in 2020?
Well, that's a legitimate question. Why not?
But here, I'm going to tell you why. Here's the use case.
Why not before?
It doesn't matter.
We're not talking about why not.
It does matter.
I'm telling you why. Here's your use case. Because it doesn't take anything away from you using a mouse cursor anyway. It doesn't take it away, and it opens up that last option for you. That's why. That's it. It doesn't matter when. It matters why. It doesn't even matter how, because the tech is the tech, and tech is ever-changing with cost and evolution and how you do it. What matters is why. It's always why. Why drives emotion. Well, not
you
how,
just said
not
it
when.
Doesn't. You just said when I said why that it doesn't matter.
No, so I'm saying it doesn't matter when you said why not. Why not then?
Well, I'm saying why now? Why not before? What's changed? What's different now?
I would have done it back then too. I think what's changed is the operating system. I'd say Mac OS 11 is why now.
I mean, what I would argue is when they launched Launchpad.
Huh?
Is why now?
ARM-based doesn't enable anything.
Well, no, but it's gonna make it more. It's blurring the lines even further between Intel Macs and ARM-based iPads. It's blurring the whole point of this is to just take the two, the yellow paint and the green paint, and mix them together and just get a nice puke green in the middle. That's what we're looking for.
I just mean when Apple officially launched Launchpad on Mac.
I was with you on there, Nick, for a second until you did that, and then you lost me. I was like, wait, what?
A nice puke green. No, I just mean everyone said the same thing when Apple did Launchpad on macOS years ago, and it never turned into anything. Yeah. And everyone said that Launchpad looks a lot like iOS, so they're getting ready for Touch Max, and Apple was like, no, we're not. It's just a feature adding to let you look at all your apps
and
in one place.
Launchpad is kind of feels out of place, right? Like you got these huge icons and you have to move your mouse.
And it's not new.
And it's,
it's
not
been
new.
There for
sure.
Years.
But like
they didn't want to add touchscreen just because everyone said it looked more touch friendly. And they were like, no, we just wanted to add it. And that's what I think Big Sur is. It's just them adding things for the sake of design language continuity, but it's not necessarily for.
I would agree with Big Sur. I would agree Big Sur would do that, but I think Mac OS 11 going forward is going down that path. Maybe Big Sur won't be the touch interface that we want, and it's just made more for aesthetics continuity. I would agree Big Sur might do mm-hmm. that, but I do 100% believe anything in Mac OS 11 will be focused on implementing touch. Maybe not Big Sur, whatever's after Big Sur. Maybe it is Big Sur. I don't know. But I can truly see not being Big Sur because you need a transition period. But
what I will say is there's been absolutely no analysts or leakers who have confirmed that coming in the pipeline. There's been a whole lot of talk of Apple investing in mini LED displays for Macs and further products. But there's been nothing in the pipeline about adding touch to that.
I noticed that leaks about Macs are almost non-existent. Like nobody guessed the redesign look. Nobody got that.
Well, they got the modular Mac Pro coming for a long time. The Pro Display XDR
Apple literally told everyone that there was going to be a modular Mac Pro coming.
Yeah,
yeah, but people got the Pro Display dimensions and display and that kind of thing. Yeah. Supply chains would know about touch panels at that size, I would say, fairly well in advance. That's why I don't believe if there is touchscreen Macs coming, they're not anywhere near development phase. They're years away, even if it is happening. I still don't think it is, but it's not close. Mac OS would still need some massive redesigns to be touch-friendly.
Agreed.
Control Center is just one aspect of it.
Yeah. I have a question. Random question.
I agree with Randy. It's not coming this year or next year or probably the year after that, but it's coming with macOS 11 at some point. macOS 11.5 or .7. I don't know.
Can you guys got your watches on? Can you, with your betas, can you perform a screenshot and tell me what the animation looks like?
What?
Do a screenshot.
Just a okay. white flash?
It's just a white flash.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you. Carry on.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for contacting tech support.
Please. It hurts when I else? Do this. Oh, well, then you shouldn't do that.
Well, I hope I'm wrong, because I'm excited to see, if you guys are right, how Apple would handle touchscreen Macs. Because in my opinion, if they did, they would have to make some type of Surface Studio-like all-in-one, which I think would be cool. This is all coming from a prediction standpoint. Looking at where Apple stands today and what they've said in the past and me guessing what that means for the future. And I know they go back on certain things, but this doesn't seem like something they would put in the work and energy for, because I feel like adding cursor and keyboard support to the iPad enables it to do so much more. So I can get that logic, whereas adding touch to the Mac, I don't see it enabling a ton more. I see it as an occasional, but I want to touch it sometimes. I don't think they'll see it as worth it.
This is a very similar argument to the one that we had about a swipe-based iOS keyboard. None of us here use the swipe-based keyboard. It's not something that any of us were begging for. But there were a few mm-hmm. people, mostly Android converts, who were like, "Ah, but I miss just being able to swipe. It was so convenient just to swipe through messages and just type things out." We don't use it, but now Apple has it as a default in the keyboard. You don't have to use it if you don't want to. You don't even know
it's a software feature, not a drastic hardware redesign, is my point.
Same principle.
Principle, sure, but not execution. You know, like adding... making a $300 keyboard case with a trackpad is a lot easier than re-engineering all of your Mac displays.
It's not
going to
start with all
touch.
Of them. We're not going to wake up one morning and there'll be a refreshed all of them. There's going to be one Mac.
It kind of distorts the Mac a bit if they do. It's going to make Mac OS kind of all over the place.
It's going to start with a super
place.
Portable one that's going to get a touchscreen, and then it's going to be a little bit chunkier top, and it'll
chunk.
It'll start with one.
I say
it'll move into more. Just like the USB-C port I/O.
If you want touchscreen Macs, let people run macOS on the iPad. That's far cheaper than building out whole
Which
new hardware
of
lines and display panels. That's a different discussion, though. But I think that's way more doable. Yeah. That's way more doable. I think Apple's energy towards the Mac
Sidecar is basically just AirPlay for the Mac.
But you notice it deactivates touch.
It does.
Oh no! I was just thinking, like I was like, oh, getting Mac on iPad. It's like right now, well, you have Sidecar, which I've never used even once, and
it's nice, but it's for visuals. It's not.
Yeah,
for
but
touch
I think it's like
all
it's
Pencil.
Doing is just airplane.
It turns your iPad into an Apple TV monitor. Basically, it's in the same preferences in the top. Toolbar. It's like an AirPlay. The same way you'd connect to AirPlay, you'd connect to Sidecar.
Boo.
Why boo? It's easy. Do you want a more complicated way?
I just want it to be severed completely.
What do you mean? You don't want that option to be there?
I don't want there to be an extension of Mac on the iPad.
What?
Why?
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
All of your logic for touchscreen on Mac just went out the door as you made this point. We don't have to use it, but the option is there.
No. Hold on. Maybe we didn't establish where I was coming from. I don't want an image to just be mirrored. I don't want AirPlay on my device. I want an independent source that I can navigate.
Totally.
I don't understand.
That. Like, I'd rather have macOS on the iPad instead of macOS screencasted to my iPad.
Right.
Why not both?
Well, of course,
because
both, sure.
it's for a crappier experience.
It is a crappier experience.
Well, what's
but
crappy
there are
about letting
there are
your
different use cases though? Like there are times where I'm sitting in a coffee shop. Like that happens anymore. But I would be sitting in a coffee shop and or a lounge or whatever, and I have my MacBook and I want another screen and I have an iPad And instead of launching some third-party Duet display
thing, I use it every day. It's great. Exactly. I just connect to it.
I take it back. I just realized I've been doing something wrong this whole time.
How dare you, Randy? You've been doing it wrong.
I could have been using Sidecar to have the chat and functions and OBS and all that open. Yeah.
There
and
you
screen
go.
Screen share.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just an extra monitor.
It's so simple.
Figured it out!
It actually works incredibly well. Like when I turn
my
Mac on,
I just realized I could share my screen without all this private information. I could use OBS.
Yeah.
What's awesome about Sidecar is that you don't even
have to touch the iPad. I've been using it wrong, you guys.
So wrong. When I sit down and turn on my iMac Pro,
keep your shirt on.
When I tap the space bar to wake up the Mac, the iPad display turns on with it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to touch the iPad. It just boots up like it's a monitor. It stays automatically connected.
We need to
even
finish this
iPad
episode because I
want to
go play now. I don't even care anymore. I'm so upset with myself.
And it works really well without a cable. You don't even have to use a wire. You just air cast it, and the latency isn't that bad.
It also works
and
on an airplane.
I use it for,
you don't have to have Wi-Fi.
So I go to system preference, and I go to general.
It's just at the top.
It shouldn't even be that.
It should just be a little.
It should be at
the
very toolbar next to the time in your Wi-Fi. There should be a little
square
AirPlay icon.
Wait. On macOS or on the iPad?
Mac OS.
Okay.
You know the very top corner of the screen where your name
is? Yeah, I see
this is not Talos of support, Randy. This is Talos of tech.
No. I never.
You see it?
Yeah.
You see the little AirPlay icon?
I see it. Yep. And I see Randy's iPad.
And then just connect to it.
And it takes
I'll do it after I get off the car.
Mm-hmm. He's going to erase us really quick.
Randy, don't do.
I like how you went from Sidecar shouldn't be a thing to, oh my god, I'm going to use this right away.
I'm going to force a stream after this just so I can try it out.
I mean, go to System Preferences and click Sidecar and you can turn off some of the features. Because by default, they'll add a touch bar and show a sidebar. And you can turn those off.
Sidecar is under general or is under display?
No.
It's a whole thing. It's a blue
icon. The first screen when you open System Preferences, it's right next to displays. It says Sidecar on Catalina.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Okay. Okay.
You can just uncheck all those. It's lovely.
I love it when Randy discovers a new feature on air. His face is just so genuine.
I will never use Windows ever in my life.
It's like when I taught my mom how to send the firework animation in iMessage. She's like, wait, what?
I taught people how to say congratulations and balloons and stuff.
You just type congratulations and iOS does
that. Yeah, say congratulations and you get all these little balloons and stuff. Oh, wow. I don't even want to upgrade from Catalina now. I just want to pretend like this is a thing. And because
this
I took so
feature.
Long to just because I took so long to upgrade to Catalina, if you guys remember, I'm not ready to walk away from it yet. So
yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I'm not either. I still got it on the iMac Pro. I just have it on the Mac Mini just in case.
All right. Yeah. Anything else? Any
last words, gentlemen?
Blow Randy's mind with.
Happy 4th for everybody.
Hey, for you in the US.
It's 4th for
in the
US,
us then.
Yeah. It's long past
we
4th of July
on a holiday,
for anybody else.
Guys. This
if
is,
you're,
this
if,
is
you're,
how
if you're if you're not
we are to this.
True. Yeah. And if you're not in the US, what are you doing? Come
it's
on.
It's still July 4th. Happy July 4th.
Come join the chaos.
It's like a rave.
It
know?
Is.
Everyone's just screaming and running around.
I just picture
I have no idea what
happy
you guys 4th.
Are doing. Screw you, England.
Enjoy going to work today, England.
Oh my goodness.
All right.
Gosh. Wow.
Thanks for listening or watching, everyone. Have a great rest of your week.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Bye. Have a wonderful time.